Okay, we're in Simen Reish Tzadi Zayin, 297. We finished Sif Aleph. We did some of the Piskei Tshuva. So let's continue the Piskei Tshuva. We're on the discussion of you make the bracha on the besamim if you have, and if you don't have, you don't have to run after looking for besamim. So if you don't have any besamim, you just don't make the bracha on borei mine besamim at the time of Havdalah. And if you get some besamim later on that night on Motzi Shabbos, you'd make a bracha on besamim by itself, but only if it's Saturday night. Once the sun has risen Sunday morning, there's no longer the mitzvah to do the bracha on besamim. And if for whatever reason you didn't make havdalah at night at all, and you're making it on Sunday morning, you don't make the bracha on the besamim. Okay? Now, that's the straight halacha. Based on the words of the Kabbalists, it's a big inyan to smell the besamim on Motzei Shabbos. And through the besamim, you retain a certain amount of the kedusha of Shabbos for the balance of the week. And therefore, the Kabbalists would tell you it's something to look after and to look for, even if you don't have it. And all God-fearing people, they make sure to have besamim for Avdallah. And there are those who write that even a person who has besamim in his house, it's definitely an obligation to make a bracha on them. And it's not just you make an effort. Like from the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have, yeah, if not, not. But really, you should really make sure to have it. Initially, a person should not make a bracha on the besamim before Havdalah. But what if he did? He could make it again in the middle of Havdalah to do it together with the cup of wine. That's what it's really designated. The way we have in our Siddur. What if you don't have any besamim, but you're anticipating them to come a little bit later at night? You don't have to wait for the besamim. You make Havdalah without them. When you get the besamim later, you make a bracha on it. And as we said, initially, you should arrange the bracha besamim together and the candle together with the cup of wine. What if many people are listening to the Havdalah and there's very few besamim to pass around? Look what he says. It's not proper to make a long break to pass around the besamim. We'll see how long is. And you may initially, the listeners may smell the besamim after Havdalah and make their own bracha berminim besamim. And the same thing with the candle if they can't get their finger close to the candle. What constitutes a long break? This is brought down from Shmir Shabbos Golchaza.
But their Havdalah would be valid if they didn't after.
It is, but still, try and do the best way possible. Remember, you started off with a Bar Priya Goffin, so you want to just keep going everything, and you shouldn't, whatever you're doing in the Havdalah, obviously part of the Havdalah liturgy is not a break, obviously, because it was designated that way. But remember, you made a Borei Priya Goffin, and as soon as possible, you should be drinking that cup of wine. Okay, so you're making all the brachas that are part of it. But now if you're waiting and they're passing it around for 3 minutes, the Havdalah, the besamim, that would constitute a long break. Now we have to know how long is long and how short is short.
In the shuls, that's where it comes into play.
They bring down in the story about the Chafetz Chaim, it said when there was a big group, the Chafetz Chaim would not make a bracha on the besamim at all during Havdalah, because he saw people would be taking a long time. And therefore he made the bracha on the besamim after Havdalah. Because he felt once you do it, everyone would want to smoke. It would be a big break. Doesn't say how long the break is. So, what we do in shul is pretty small.
He's saying a big crowd.
First of all, we have about 10, 15 people, and we give individual ones out. So it's really not much of a break. But if you have a big crowd, let's say when you heard besamim,
you went to your Pesach
hotel, right?
Yeah, I just did it myself. I didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a different story. So that's not a bad idea, though, that, you know, you everyone can always do it afterwards, which is never a problem. It's never a problem. Okay.
Except for the kiddush, the wine, the bracha on the wine, everybody should do their own afterwards, so you don't have to wait.
On the wine?
No, no, except for the wine, the kiddush on the wine. Then afterwards, rather than if you have a big crowd, let everybody...
That's what he's saying. That's what the Pisgei Tshuva is saying. That's what the Pisgei Tshuva is saying. For sure. Okay, you know, all right, now, next point we have, what's the brach on the besamim? Mishabur said you make the one bore mine besamim, no matter what the fragrance you're smelling, so we wouldn't come on to make mistakes. Not everybody knows all the different brachas you make. And he gives a few examples of which are the proper ones, let's say the cloves. No, not myrtles.
No, I thought
cloves.
Not
cloves are the ones we should use, or musk. Okay. Now, from the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he explains that you're permitted lechatchilat to even take myrtles or other besamim whose brach is atzei or ispe besamim, together with brachas that are mine besamim. And you can make the bracha bari mine besamim. Okay, fine. And you could take a bunch of other ones together with the cloves. But the Mishabur says, even if you only have atzei or ispe besamim types, still in all months of Shabbos during Avdoli, make the bracha bari mine besamim, or make bari mine atzei besamim. Some even make the one for it if they don't have a... they don't make the mine besamim. Okay, but that's all correct. Now Ashkenaz, playing a Sfard, by Avdala, you make everyone the one that's for it. So Ashkenaz Nusach is always Bori mine besamim, Sfard, whatever you have. So to make it simple, just go for the cloves or something else that's a mine besamim to fulfill all opinions. If you would only have myrtles, okay, then you make the atzei besamim. Now, okay, that's that. Let us move on to Sibbeis. Ein mevorchem ala besamim shel beis hakisei. You don't make havdalah on besamim that's used for a washroom, even though you took them out of the washroom, but they were usually there to cover up the bad smell of a washroom. And not the besamim that were used to put next to a dead body. V'dafka nesunim l'malam v'thaso, shall mase only the besamim that were put on top of the bed of the dead person. V'lo besamim sheba mesibos ov dekachovim, and also not besamim used for when idol worshippers got together. Why destam mesibos? Because usually when the idol worshippers get together, lavodas kochavim, they usually are there for idol worship, and you should have nothing to do with that. You can't benefit from things that are used for idol worship. Says the Ramah v'imberech al besamim elu, what if you did make a brach on these types of besamim? Lo yosu, if not fulfilled your obligation, you have to find others to make on that. Says the Mishnah Berurah sif cotton gimel, shel beis hakisei velo, you don't make a brach on besamim used for a washroom. The kolz el lav l'reich avida, they're not really used for the smell for themselves per se. They're rather to remove the stench smell that's there. And you don't make a bracha except for something that's used for its own smell. If you put the sum on top over the bed of the dead person, what do you put it in front of the bed of the dead person before you make the bracha? We say they're done for the needs of the living, not the needs of the dead, so that it should smell nice in their room. Sivkot Nehe, Shiva Mesivis Ovichamu, when non-Jews get together, Haina Shemesuvim Lachilu Surav, non-Jews are gathering around for a meal. What if they weren't gathered around? Mutlev Rachel B'samim Shalom, you may borrow a non-Jew's B'samim Stamazoi, you may. V'chein Masi Kataz Laloch B'sin Reis Arichas Sivkot Nehe, that's what the Kataz concludes. When we come up, I'm still not, because if he writes himself at the end of his writing, it's good to worry about the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas. This really that he holds the stamp of some shaltik achavim omed labsof lamarchavodas kidulum. Any besumim that a non-Jew has eventually is meant to, and will be sold for idol worship. So that's what they did. And therefore, Rein Levarchim should make a brach on them, Imlo B'makam Shinir Shein Omei Levarus Kilum, unless you see it's a situation where it will not apparently go for idol worship. Kagon, for example, Shutagar, he's a salesman. Shadarka Limkar Samal Nashim, he sells to many people. O Shadarka Losam Abasamil Taf Shlo, or it's wafer, or you know, he puts his basamim into his food. Ozeinis Levarach Alem, then it's not prohibited, Afiludas Ben Yonah, even according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, a lot of this is not Nogea. Okay, he just says, nowadays you should be careful from all these types of deodorizers. He uses fancy Hebrew words, but I imagine that's what it is. Different types of soaps, etc. Okay, so you shouldn't use, there's all kinds of a lot of problems with these deodorizers. They're not really the real thing. They're imitation smells, things like that. He said, L'chachili, you should refrain from bringing fruits that smell good, even an esrog. Or different baked goods that smell good. You don't use that. If you recall, we discussed that long ago. However, what if you don't have any proper besamim that is a real besamim? Okay. So let's say you took some. There's a problem with the fruits, we said. If you, even a nice smelling fruit, if you're going to eat it, then usually don't make the bracha of the bracha on the smelling of it. So this is a bit of it. If you're not going to eat them now, then you want to be makel and make a bracha on a fruit that smells good, you could.
What bracha would you use?
Yeah.
There's something Alperos told. You gave a good smell for good fruits.
That's a long one.
Yeah, that we don't say it. We don't say it. Okay. Okay, he also talked about certain spices that are really designated for cooking. It's really cooked for cooking, but you do also smell it. So it's a shaila if you can make a bracha or immediate psalmim on those as well. It's a shaila. And there he says, for example, cloves, even though cloves is the ideal one, but if these cloves were in a package that is designated for cooking, that's not the best. And the best thing is to designate some cloves in its own box,
yeah.
And it's only for smelling. Okay, that is the best thing, and that's why we have the Havdalah kit with the besamim box. We have the besamim box, not just stam, so we have more fancy silver to display. It's based on halacha. We're saying that you want to have besamim that are designated for smelling only, and then according to all opinions, you make the bracha bari b'nei besamim on that. All right, that's the point he's making over here. So therefore, you want to make the bracha right. So that's why we designated. I'm not bitty ever if you don't, and you only have cloves that are in the cooking pantry. You could use them too. But ideally, you'd have a separate one. That's what people usually do. Even if you don't have a special besamim box, you just buy a thing of cloves and just set it aside with the besamim.
Just straight cloves? Is there anything
else? You know, those black things, those little.
Yeah. I don't even know what it looks like. I always have it in
a bag. They look funny. It's brownish. It's like a little piece of wood, like a pit.
Spice bomb.
You can buy cloves. In the spice section in any store,
yeah.
Just buy cloves.
Just put it aside.
It looks like small mayo.
But they don't
that's why they're called negala. They don't last forever, but last a good while. At least a year. After a couple of years, it loses the smell. You have to remember, when these things lose the smell, you know, you can't make a bracha b'nei besamim on them.
So where's the point? Like, does it have to be really? Like, I have mine. I think that it's fading now.
So change it.
You still smell it?
Yeah, you
change
still smell it.
No, but still, you should change it. You want a good smell.
1 year, you do.
It's they should be changed over time. If you check our besom box, we have the old one and the rather new one, and it's a big difference in the smell. And somebody very kindly made a whole bunch of little ones with little packets
yeah,
to pass around. But they've kind of lost their smell.
Does that hold?
It's still something, but we really should replace all of them and get some fresh ones. It's like, you know, your fire detectors. Yeah. You know, every year you're supposed to really change the batteries, right? So you should do whenever they change the clock. They said, change the clock, change the batteries. You change your basement box.
You do that twice a year. Okay.
I don't think you need to do that twice a year, but whatever. But you need the time that you to remind yourself to do those kinds of things. So that would be ideal. Okay, let's move on to Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel. Sakim Malayim Besamim. Bags filled with Besamim. Shemesimim of the Chavim Tol Kan Kanei Yain. That non-Jews put it into their bottles of wine. Afal Pishim Mutal Rechvam. Even though you're allowed to smell them. Aim of the only can't make Havdola on them. Okay, Sifkotin. Vav, La Rechvam to smell them. Shenayai nois mem tam, the wine doesn't put a taste in them. Ki ein der shericha b'samayayim, it's not the way to smell the b'samayim from the wine. El adraba, him nosim tam b'yayim, they put taste in the wine. Okay, I guess we're talking about taking this wine bottle with the b'samayim in it, and it smells from the b'samayim. That's what he's saying. Okay. V'od, the person is intending to only smell the incense and not the spice and not the taste smell of the wine. Sifkot and Zion. So even though you may normally smell them, but you can't use them for Avdallah, because why? It's Moisul Lagavo. It's disgusting for Hashem to use for a mitzvah, something that belongs to a goy. Because of a Taz Khan, the Taz here and in other places, right? You cannot smell. Let's say the utensil has absorbed the smell of the Besamim and the Besamim are no longer in the utensil. So you can't make a bourbon name Besamim on a utensil that smells nice. What if you see a little bit of the dust, the powder of the Besamim still at the bottom of that utensil? Like you find in snuff boxes or things like that. Still make a bracha because there still was some actual besamim there.
Okay, the reason
you don't make a bracha on the box that smells because there's no real besamim there. You have to make a bracha from actual besamim, and if you made a bracha under that circumstance, it would be a wasted bracha. Similar if your clothes smell really good or other things like that from different perfumes, also no. Let's say you have something in a box, but it's closed. The box is closed so much, even though a little smell comes out of it, but the box is closed. If you don't open the top, you can't make a bracha on that. Unless there's holes in it, even small holes, then you can make a bracha on that because the smell goes through that. Even though he's saying it would be best if you could remove even that cover with the holes on it, if they're very small holes. Okay, so the besamim box we have, they're bigger holes, so that's not a problem. But if you have a whole box of besamim, it's totally closed, even some of the smell comes out, but that's not the real smell from that. It's like from like a utensil that smells, so you shouldn't use that. Dalid, rolling right along. Nagu levarach al hadas. Shulchan Aruch says, that's for the Sephardim. The custom is to use a myrtle that you've used that would be good for sukkahs, that kind. Kol heichada efshir, whenever possible, says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramo, some say you don't make a bracha on a dried out myrtle. Dana Marich doesn't really give a great smell. Rak al shar b'sam, but on other b'samim, and you don't have to worry about that. In other words, it seems the Shulchan was saying use the b'sam, use the hadasim that you used on sukkahs to continue to use a mitzvah with something that was done with a mitzvah. That's what he seems to be saying. Yeah. Well, the Ramo says, no. Well, you don't do it on dry ones. Okay. That's the custom in our countries. Appeared to me to put the hadas with the besamim to us also in kulam. They're doing like everybody. Take the old hadasim, but also besamim. All right, let's take a look at the Mishnah on this. Ches al hadas on the myrtle perish. The one that you use tishel lulav from the lulav an estrog set that you made your brach on the four species. Why came these avid bochad a mitzvah? Since you've done one mitzvah with these hadasim. Lafid Bey, Mitzvah Chita, do another mitzvah with them. Tadafka Bishar Yimos Hashanah, that's all in other days of the year. But obviously, below the Sukkot, you couldn't do it on Sukkot. Shehuk Tzol Mitzvah, it's designated for its mitzvah, and therefore you can't use it for another mitzvah during Sukkot. Umasha Kosakal Hecha the Efsher, that which he says as much as it's possible. Hainu Kol Hecha Sheishpo Od Rech Tzas, as long as it smells nice. Because it's a mitzvah l'chachil hader achrof. It's a mitzvah. So how long could that be already? A couple weeks, a month, that's it. So that's what he means, kol hechad efshir. So after Sukkot, if you want to use them for a little while they still smell good. V'chein kos v'zohar. So the Zohar says this, v'somach l'dover, it makes a smach from the prophet Isaiah, v'tachas ha-sarpad yala hadas. Instead of the sirpad, will be the hadas. V'somach le, and then it says, Shomer Shabbos Chala, you're keeping the Shabbos from desecrating. So you see, we're using Hadassim instead of other types as we're being Shomer Shabbos. V'yeshom, but the other opinion, the Ramah, that we don't make a bracha on a dried one. What is the old sphere? Lo, they came in Shinishnabish, once it's dried out, from Nittel Nenner Ikarech, the main smell is gone, and the bracha should make a bracha on it. Then the Ramah says the custom is to put it together with the other Basamim, Imam Basamim, V'imein lo, he doesn't have any Yochel Varech. You could make it on greens that have a good smell. Yud, the osin kuliyama, they're doing like every opinion. Look in the Taz who writes, Almada Isa Betur B'Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, and then Rabbeinu Shohailo Schuchis Miuchet, it had a special glass. Sheba Mine B'Sam, had all different types of spices. Vayim Rech Mine Barach on it. Daft, the Lalach Yeshu Tzad Adiyachal Varech Barimine B'Samim Galam B'Sam Yishoy Menachem B'Bayis L'Tzorech Tavshel. This is what I brought up before. That even though lalocha, we do paskin, that you can make a bracha on spices that are in the kitchen cupboard that you plan on using for cooking. And that's what Tosfos Shabbos writes simply. Rabbeinu Ephraim made a separate glass, a separate havdalah box. The mitzvah in the nicest way. He designated them specifically for smelling for the mitzvah of havdalah. That's what most people do. We designate a utensil for it for kareinah, so they call it hadas al shem shayu manichem sham bedoros or rishonim hadas kedei lerech. They call the little, like, what do you call this little? So in the Yiddish we call it a besamim bixel. That's what they called it, a besamim box. But they called it a hadas. The box was called hadas because of the hadas that they put in it. Okay. Mishnah Berurah, that. The Torah brings, the Beis Yosef brings from the Kabbalists that they always use hadassim, fresh hadassim every month of Shabbos. But some will, who are very particular mitzvahs, will take the leaves of the hadassim and they'll put it in the besamim bixel that have the cloves, etc.
So mix it together.
Yeah. Right? Even though it doesn't have much smell, but there's other besamim already there.
What would be that really purpose, though?
Yeah, what's the mitzvah?
To keep the mitzvah going. You did a mitzvah at once, just keep it up.
So that's only on Sukkah, that's all. That's
but it'll last the whole year.
You keep, but it's overpowered by the cloves and everything.
It's fine, but you're still using it for the mitzvahs. It's combined with the mitzvah. What else are you going to do, throw it out? Do you want to just stretch out the mitzvah a little bit? Think, remind yourself of all the lessons you learned of having simcha on Sukkahs. Okay, that's what it's there. We have too many fancy gizmos in life. What did an Orem Yid have? What did a poor Jew have in his house? Nothing. We have pictures and this and that. We got so many things that give us pleasure. Look in your house. Think for a minute. How many pictures are on your walls, which in the scheme of real life are worthless? But you say, no, it makes my eyes nice and this and that. You have all these things that are so pleasing to your eye that you spend money on that aren't even a mitzvah. I'm not saying it's not a veir, but it's not a mitzvah. What a pasha Yid had who had nothing. He had nothing. So what did he have? What did he have? He had his mitzvahs. The mitzvahs were valuable to him. Like, you know what it's like? You know, you keep, if you went to the Super Bowl, right? Went to the Super Bowl and you had a ticket. And they scanned the ticket, right? Now you still have the ticket. You throw it in the garbage?
No. You don't throw that ticket in the garbage.
What's it worth now? Nothing.
Nothing. No, but people will put it.
Yeah. So now you did a mitzvah with something.
They frame it.
I'm saying you did a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. You understand? You did a mitzvah. You took this hadas and you did a mitzvah. You brought the Shechina into your life with this hadas. Now that the time for the mitzvah is over, you think it's worth more than that Super Bowl ticket? So you wouldn't want to frame it? Right, but the problem is we understand the value of a Super Bowl ticket. We don't understand the value of a mitzvah item. That's the problem. So that's why we would put the hadassim in there. Now it makes more sense. We just have to remember get back to reality a little bit. That's all. But that's everybody. You know, even people go to a Leaf game. A kid goes to his first Leaf game. He saves the ticket. Right, then they grow up, they throw them out because you go to a million Leaf games. Right? Believe me, if you went to the Super Bowl, you frame that, oh, I remember that game. And then it brings you all the way back to memories of the game. Ooh, it's an exciting game, went down to the last pass. That was a game for the ages. Right? So what does a Yid do? He takes his b'sam and says, ah, six times I went around the bima. I made the bracha six times. And each time I felt Hashem's presence in my life. Ah, in a way that I have to wait a whole year to feel this way again. So he wants to have nostalgia on that. Right? And the simcha I had then is, I have a whole year of simcha from this. Just looking at it gave them so much joy. It was so easy to make a Jew happy in the olden days. They didn't need to buy pictures. You understand? They were richer than us. They felt the mitzvah. They felt the mitzvah. Right? His mom is, oh, geschmack. Every Matzah Shabbos, oh, I can't wait to see those. That's what gave them so much joy. You go to a Kohl family, they don't have pictures. They got Sfarim. The Sfarim give them joy. They look at the Sefer, ah, gewaltig, I learned this Masechta. Ah, amazing, I remember the good times we had with that Gemara. So that's a whole different way of looking at life. Anyway, let's move on. But if you don't have besamim of Sukkos, you should try to buy fresh besamim for Matzah Shabbos. We've already spoken about how the Chassidim have a custom Friday night to smell hadassim also, to buy hadassim. So you buy the hadassim before Shabbos, you smell them Friday night before Kiddush, you smell them Matzah Shabbos. Those who want to, you know. According to Arizal, you should take two branches of hadassim to smell them on Shabbos. Oh, exactly. By Kiddush and smell them three times for the nefesh ruach and the shama that you get on Shabbos. And keep them for the week as well. I'm sorry, he said like this. Take two of the besamim that you smelled on Shabbos. Again, you take two, you use besamim for Shabbos, save at least two branches for Matzah Shabbos, and smell them on Matzah Shabbos three times, three sniffs. For the ruach, nefesh, ruach, and neshama that you had extra on Shabbos that are leaving. You follow? That's what they would do. And you hope that retains them a little bit for the week. When you make the bracha, hold the hadassim the way they grow, up and down, okay. And after Havdalah, you shouldn't throw them in the garbage in a denigrating way, but rather put them aside till they dry out, and then burn them properly in those days when they burnt it themselves. Or you could put it in a bag and throw it out, whatever. Okay, Then he brought down from the Ramah, we don't make a bracha on dried out hadasim, but on other ones. Okay. So he's saying even hadasim means, he means hadasim don't give much smell. If they don't give any smell, you know you can't smell, you can't make a bracha on them. Okay. He says we should be very particular. From here, you learn you should be very particular. You should have besamim that smell strong, and that a regular person who has a good sense of smell can really smell it well, and you should smell them well to really enjoy that. In other words, you just, it's not just a symbolic thing. Like, no, like in the old days, they knew how to enjoy besamim. You know, they get these snuff boxes, they got snuff, and they would mamas put it like right up to their nose, and you know, they get the whole smell in there. And that's, again, that's another thing that's kind of gone by the wayside. I don't think you see, people are sniffing up other things nowadays. But it used to be, that'd be a good shiloh if you can, if you're sniffing a joint. I don't know, but they give some kind of smell, no? I don't know if that's the pleasure, though.
That's not the pleasure.
I don't think they smell. I don't think it smells particularly great, from what I'm told. But there is an idea. What the point he's making, though, is you should have a real pleasure out of the smell, and it shouldn't be a token smell. It's like all our mitzvahs. Here, I just do it, you know. No, put my. No, you have to really look at. You have, we'll see in the next siman. You have to mamash see the light off of your fingernails. Same thing. You got a mamish smell the besamim and give it a good. Ah, has to be to that point where you're going ah, like your mamish get a geschmack out of that. So I think we have to overhaul our besamim because I don't think people are getting much of a geschmack on that.
That's all more reinforces the idea of having really fresh, right? Because it will help to get that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. When you have these little bags, yeah. it's only good for a couple of weeks. You'd have to put the bags in a Ziploc bag. Then it would hold it. Then it would hold it well. You know, and again, clothes don't last forever. But if you have a fresh clothes, you put it right out. You know, that's really good. You know when you open up that coffee jar the first day.
Yeah,
the first day.
But halfway through, forget it.
You open it up and you just. My son-in-law says, I don't know if it's true or not. He says if you put the coffee in the freezer,
yeah, a lot of people do that.
It retains its smell.
Do it.
I don't know. He does it.
There's
machlekes in this. Okay, machlekes has sniffers. Okay. Okay. Anyway, but the point we're making is that you should really, from all this, it appears. That the besom, so it'll be a nice thing, yeah. If you bought fresh myrtles, I don't know if regular florists even have
never
myrtles.
Checked,
some of the Sfardim have every a real frum Sfardim. And Chassim, they always have myrtles every Friday night. Every Friday night, and that's like part of their thing. Like just everything else, they buy a bunch of myrtles.
So when do they do it?
What do they do
after Kiddush?
They do it but right before Kiddush, in this Miro's part, whatever. Remember in Borough Park? And they have a fancy long silver thing that's long that you could put the besamim in, the myrtles in. And they pass that around because that way the leaves won't fall off and things like that.
Does it be before Kiddush?
Chassidim do that.
And my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Israel, I guess
they got a lot of hadassim over there. And then you save it for Matzah Shabbos. And then, you know, it's not going to last. By the next week, it's pretty much gone. So you buy fresh ones every week. There's a lot of mystical stuff behind those hadassim, guys. Anyway, so that's what he's saying. So you should do that. We find Gedolei HaDoros that would refrain from making a brach on besamim. That didn't really give a good smell. But according to the Ikra Din, if you get any smell, even a weak smell, it's not considered a bracha levatola. So there's two aspects here. There's two aspects we're worried about. You don't want to make a bracha levatola.
No.
And the other point is, your soul is supposed to be revived from the smell of the besamim. Those are two separate issues. The reason we have besamim Matzah Shabbos is not just to stop make a bracha. It's to revive the soul. So in that context, you need a very strong smelling thing. Now, we've already said, if you don't have any besamim, you still can make Havdalah without any besamim. But one of a strong smell. So what happens? So the smell starts to dissipate. Okay, so the real point of the besamim is lost. But still there's a shtickle smell, so at least the bracha is not a wasted bracha. Because if you take anything and it gives some kind of smell, you remember, you make a bracha on the smallest pleasure. What if you drink for pleasure one drop of water? Do you make a bracha on it? You drink it for pleasure. And you're getting pleasure out of the one drop.
Pleasure, yes.
Yes, even one drop. Yes. You have to make a bracha. Most people wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But let's say, God forbid, you're in the Holocaust. There's one drop of water, you make a bracha on it, right? So what if the besamim gives you one drop of pleasure? So it's not a bracha of atala. If there's absolutely no smell, it's a bracha of atala. So what's happening in many homes is that, okay, we're at the point where the besamim are not a bracha of atala, because there's still up to some kind of smell, but the real, isn't there. So that's why we gotta be a little more makbid with the besamim that we have, and should buy some fresh besamim and make a little research if it's easy to get some hadassim. Would be nice. But I remember in Borough Park they had all the places in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of chadwa. Anyway, it's another way of honoring the Shabbos, right? Okay.
Check service. The florist, I never looked at that.
Interesting. Why? It just makes a note. This Rabbeinu Ephraim, who used a glass besamim box, a glass. What's up with a glass? What about a wooden one? So he says, you know why he picked glass? Because glass never itself emits a smell from the glass. Glass is gives no smell. As opposed to, let's say, a wooden box, you know, from made of pine, let's say a pine box. The pine smells, right? So, all right, or certain metals, right, could give off either a negative smell or even a positive smell, but it will take away from the smell of the besamim itself. So now you have a very interesting thing where, and that's true, most besamim boxes are wood. Some are metal.
Some are the metal, but
I've never seen one that's glass. Very interesting. We really, if you really want to do mitzvahs, you're trying to do mitzvahs in the nicest way possible, you should search out a glass besamim box. Okay, guys, if you want to buy a gift for somebody,
I'm looking on Amazon.
And you're looking for a besamim box, best to buy a glass besamim box. Okay,
to
make your Judaica. See, that would be a guy with a real Ben Torah who owns a Judaica store would have glass ones.
But 95% of the shoppers would never know.
They wouldn't know, but it would probably be more expensive. And getting a glass one, if it falls, it'll break.
Yeah, these expensive sterling silver ones, you know. So
I don't think sterling silver has a bad smell. I don't think it has any smell. Okay, but
you just said metals.
Well, some metal. I guess in Poland, in the Europe in the 1700s, it didn't smell so good. Yeah, but other ones, you know, why not? Okay, let's just go quickly. Hey, we have another 2 minutes. Hey, mi she'eino meiriach, a person whose sense of smell has been damaged. He's not capable of smelling. Once had a person I knew got hit by a softball, and he lost his smell for like 2 years. Right? You can't make a bracha on the besamim. Unless he is discharging the children who have reached the age of chinuch, if he's discharging others, let's say the guy who makes the father has no sense of smell. He still makes a bracha if there's somebody else who is being mosi, or to be mosi, someone who does not know how to do that. He has no sense of smell from birth or from other sickness. Lahotzi discharge. Azut shichon shiarichu take of our bracha. The man that smell immediately after makes the bracha. All lahotzi are to get others. Female others. Now says Meshura. Kol achrayim chokin. So all achrayim argue in this halacha and say the guy who cannot smell cannot make the bracha of others. V'sarim dav lahotzi b'nei basic katanim who discharge. Only for discharging his little children he can do it. Why? To mutal alav kedei lachan mitzvahs. He has to educate them in mitzvahs. That's when it's allowed. But not to be Muslim, who doesn't know. Since he's not obliged to be motzi him, any ochel hotzeach him. Since he's not chayv, he can't be motzi others. Their obligation. Even though kiddush avdol, you can't be motzi others. Even though you're not chayv, go and share. Let's say you already made kiddush. Can you make kiddush somebody else? Yes. So how come I can't make havdalah on the besum for somebody though I can't smell it? But shiny husband, that's different. Shein chova kol ish yisrael, because that's an obligation on all Jews for kiddush havdalah. V'chol yisrael reivim so said, all Jews are responsible for the other. Ma'ase enkin b'sum, which is not the case here by havdalah, by besum. Shirak minik hacham, it's only a custom to smell the besumim. Vein tzarach lachzer after, you don't have to go after that. So hudoma is different. L'chol berchasanim, to any blessings of pleasure. Sheni ocholot zechim berchos, you can't discharge others. Imenu nahenu asas, who doesn't have the pleasure himself, as we learned earlier.
We said havdalah even you shouldn't do for someone else.
All right, it's already 8 o'clock, yeah? So let's stop. We just got a couple more lines, but we're not going to hold everybody back. Okay. Let's just finish this up.